The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or in a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing in your sight this evening, O God, our rock and our redeemer. In your blessed name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to be seated. We're going to start with just a little review of our epistle reading today, the first reading from Hebrews, but we're going to land on some gospel lessons, and so create a little fill-in-the-blank if you want to play along this evening and see if you can come up with the right answers. And hopefully, after all is said and done, we'll all know the answers that God is calling us to hear this evening. But that first reading from Hebrews is, you know, as the name implies, Hebrews, it's written to a very Jewish audience, and it's making quite a strong claim. This is something that Jewish folks back 2,000 years ago would have been very aware of when the author, I almost said St. Paul, because growing up as a kid we were taught that Paul was the writer of Hebrews, and now there's enough scholarly evidence to suggest that he probably was not the author of Hebrews, but regardless, it's Holy Spirit inspired, and whoever the human author that penned it was, tells us that Jesus is the great high priest. And in fact, it says, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body. And it's an interesting picture, because the curtain was the one thing that would have separated the innermost sanctuary of the temple, right? There were different areas of the temple, and only in the innermost sanctuary, the only folks that could enter that would be the high priest, and even then, only on certain very high occasions. The tradition tells us that the high priest would even have a rope tied around his ankles so that if indeed he was not purified, if he wasn't clean and purified of his sins upon entering, he would be struck dead by God. No other priest would want to go in and get him, because they too would be struck dead, because they're treading on ground that they shouldn't be, so they would use the rope to pull him out. But this is telling us that Jesus is actually that curtain to the innermost sanctuary. And that's very interesting, because, you know, if we fast forward a couple of months and we get to the Easter season and we think about that story of the crucifixion, that when Jesus breathes his last breath, the temple curtain is torn, right? And it's a symbol to us that we don't enter through the gates of heaven or into the presence of God through any kind of an earthly high priest any longer, but through the one heavenly high priest who is Jesus Christ our Lord. He is that curtain. He is the one by which we get to enter into the holiest of holies. So if we kind of bring that forward into a discussion of what it is that Mark's telling us about in our gospel account tonight, there's a theme there, and I suspect you picked up on it quite easily. The theme is that of light, right? The lamp and the light. He says, do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? In other words, do we take a lamp or a light and hide it? Of course not. There would be no purpose in that. To light a candle or a lamp and to place it somewhere where it can't shine into the darkness would defeat the entire purpose of lighting that light in the first place. Yet, because he's asking the question, he's implying that, well, that's figuratively what some folks are doing. And this is coming in a part of Mark's gospel account where Jesus has just told some parables. And so parabolically, again, symbolically, he's speaking here about this light. And so if we look at that little outline that we created on the back there, the first one says, there is nothing secretive or esoteric about, and you're asked to fill in the blank. Even though Jesus spoke in parables, there's nothing secretive or esoteric about what? About God or God's word or the gospel or the Bible? It's here for us. This is a light. This is a source of wisdom for us to live our lives. There's no secrets in it. Everyone has access to it, right? Again, looking back at that old way of doing things with the old Jewish customs, only certain people had certain access to certain parts of the religious tradition. But Jesus has made a way for everyone where there is no way. So a lamp shines to provide light, not to do what? It doesn't hide things. That's exactly right. So if the light of God, that is Jesus Christ in his word, is lighting this world that we live in, or should be lighting this world that we live in, then what it needs to be doing, obviously, is exposing stuff that is in the darkness. It shows exactly what would be hidden in the darkness. And so number three, the source of the light is what or who? Yeah, the source of the light, of course, is indeed Jesus. And so what is Jesus telling us today? He said, whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. There's no longer any sort of hidden, secret, unconcealed, or rather unrevealed things within God's family. What the Old Testament might have concealed, this new covenant that Jesus brings through the gospel actually reveals it to all who receive it. But that's the key there, isn't it? That part about receiving. So let's go to number four, and we'll talk a little more about that. The more we put the teachings of the gospel into practice, the more blank we'll have. The more understanding we're going to have about this, right? Jesus says, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it'll be measured to you even more. However, or whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So whoever has understanding will actually be able to receive greater understanding. And if you think about that, if you've ever found yourself in the study of God's word and something, you know, is revealed to you, you've never realized it was in the scriptures, or it just suddenly makes sense in a new sort of way, you feel like you've actually kind of taken a step in your faith journey, and you have. You've advanced, right? How is that? Well, the more understanding you get, and the more you're willing to receive that from the light of God, the more the light of God is going to be shined upon you. And so the things that were once hidden in you, whether it's sin, all that gets exposed, and you realize you can hand that over to God. You can rid yourself of it. You can live within the light that God calls you to live in. And then number five, those who choose not to blank will lose even what little light and understanding they have. Listen, that's the key here, right? This is what this whole thing is about. And again, it may even be a little difficult for us in our days to understand this, how Jesus is using this parabolically. Those who would choose not to listen will lose even what little light and understanding they have. For Jewish folks, listening is not just an activity of being passive. For the Jewish people of Jesus' time, listening implied that it resulted in actions. So if you're hearing something from God's holy word, but you're not putting it into practice in your life, you're not really hearing it from God's holy word. If you're ignoring it, you're making a choice to ignore it. If you receive it and you base your life on it, then you're making a choice to please God by faith. Listen how James writes this in his epistle. And James, again, in the New Testament, is one of those very Jewish-style writers, right? But he says this, do not merely listen to the word. Do not merely listen to the word. Catch this. Do what it says. And before he says, do what it says, let me read you the second part of the sentence. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So again, for the Jewish people, listening and hearing was not a passive sort of thing. There was an expectation that you were to do something with what you heard, particularly when you heard it from Scripture. James goes on to say, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So that's our job. Our job is to listen to what God is saying to us through his Holy Scriptures, through the lessons of the gospel. Nothing secretive about it. There's nothing esoteric about it. Our job is to listen to it, to respond to it, to be active doers of the word, not just hearing it, but actually living it out in our faith, in our practice. And I pray that the Lord gives you the strength and the conviction and the fortitude to continue to boldly live out loud your faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray that you receive it in the blessed name of our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let all God's children say, Amen.